For the last month, we've been working our way through the book of Numbers. The people of Israel have been moving towards the promised land, and they're learning that being faithful isn't always easy. Today's scripture passage describes a moment when things became really hard. But instead of being faithful, the Israelites acted rebellious. This was one of the darkest moments in their journey. And what made it such a dark time is that they rejected God and God's plans for them. They did this because they were consumed with fear. So let's listen now to our scripture text. I'll read verses 1 through 11 of Numbers chapter 14. And this is what the scripture says. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" Amen. The 14th chapter of Numbers really describes a terrible time for Israel. They'd lost their bearings and abandoned God. But how did they get there? Now, we have to look back at some of the events that led up to this rebellion of theirs. In chapter 13, we learn that God directed Moses to send out a group of 12 leaders, one from each tribe, and their job was to scout out the land. Part of their mission included collecting military intelligence on the people who were living in the promised land. They wanted to know what kind of opposition would be waiting for them when they entered. But the bigger part of their mission was to discover if this land was really as good as God described it. When these scouts returned from their mission, the initial report that they gave was positive. They brought back the fruit of the land, and they showed it to their people. They even said that the land flows with milk and honey. Now, that meant that the land was good for grazing, milk-producing animals, and it was filled with bees. The land really sounded like perfect land for people like the Israelites who loved dairy products and anything honey. Now, but there was some serious concerns they had about the people living in the land. The scouts reported that the descendants of Anak lived there. These people were known as oversized humans, and remnants of these giants lived for years in the areas west of Canaan, in the Philistine regions of Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And their most famous descendant was Goliath. Now, the scouts were afraid of these people, and they quickly embellished their story. The facts were changed, and they began describing both the land and the people to be much worse than they really were. Verse 32 of chapter 13 says that they gave an unfavorable report. And that phrase from the Hebrew comes from the word dibah, which is most often used for slanderous or untrue statements. You see, the scouts were stretching the truth when they said that the land that we've gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great size. Now, God did not look kindly on their actions, because in chapter 14, verse 37, we read, "The men who brought an unfavorable report about the land died by a plague before the Lord." Now, the scouts lied because they were fearful. They were afraid of what might happen to themselves or their family or their people. And instead of embracing the future that God was preparing, they resisted it. They turned to lies. They said that the land would devour its inhabitants and that there were giants everywhere. In fact, these were no ordinary giants either. They were Nephilim. These were the products of the mythological marriages between the gods and humans. And if you want to read about them, turn to Genesis chapter 6. But in comparison to these giants, the scouts described themselves as grasshoppers. And they said, "We're not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." That false report frightened the Israelites. It stoked their fears, and it led to despair. You know, fear really is an ugly thing because of what it leads us to do. It causes us to doubt God. And when we doubt God, we become suspicious of God's plans for our lives. We wonder if the Lord is really interested in us. We wonder if the Lord is concerned with our well-being. And when that kind of fear gets a hold of us, we turn away from God. We'd rather go backwards than push ahead into an unknown future. But that's exactly what happened with the Israelites. Entering the promised land was going to be hard for them. There were obstacles in their way. But instead of following God, they followed fear. And that led them backwards. They thought a life of slavery was preferable to a life of following the Lord. Now, the Israelites acted with great fear when they heard the report from the scouts. And then they started complaining. In verses 2 and 3, they say, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" Now, the Israelites acted this way because they had forgotten that God had cared for them in the past and has promised to care for them in the future. They really didn't believe God was going to keep his promise and give them a new home. They didn't trust the Lord. Now, if anything, they suspected that God had an evil plan. They said in verse 3, "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?" Fear distorted their vision, and it led them to believe that life as slaves in Egypt would be better than following after God. And so they developed a plan of their own. "Let's choose a captain and go back to Egypt," they said. Now, in their hearts, they'd rejected God. They rejected God's leaders. And ultimately, they rejected God himself. This is the central rebellion in the book of Numbers. See, they rejected God because of their fears. They had convinced themselves that God did not have their best interest in mind, and therefore they were unwilling to take possession of the land. Now, when we look closely at this situation, we see that the Israelites didn't want to put forth the effort to confront the obstacles that stood in their way. And sadly, they were willing to settle for something far, far less. You know, they were content choosing the path of slavery and misery over the path of courage and hope. We see in the New Testament that the people of God are called to work out their faith. It's the hard work of sanctification. And sanctification involves putting in the effort to become the people that God calls us to be. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And Paul told the Philippians to forget about what lies behind, and instead, he encouraged them to press on toward the goal. And part of the goal is to become a holy people. But to do that, we must be faithful. And faithfulness is what eluded the Israelites. When hard times come, it may be tempting to give up on God and lose our faith. Some people will throw up their hands and say, "I'm done." Some will stop attending church and separate themselves from the very people who can help them the most. Hard times do rattle us. And as we wander through the wilderness that is the year 2020, it may feel like there are a number of different forces working against us, leading us toward despair. We can choose to go down that path, or we can choose to go down the path of courage and hope, as Joshua and Caleb did. Now, these two leaders countered the negative reports given by all the other spies. They said that the land is exceedingly good. They declared their trust in the power and the care of God. And they weren't afraid of the hurdles that stood in their path. Even though the people of the land looked powerful, they didn't see them as an obstacle because they knew that the Lord was with them. Joshua and Caleb, however, were concerned with the rebellious behavior of their people. And when they realized that their community wasn't going to change, that they were refusing to enter the promised land, they tore their clothes as a sign of their grief. Joshua and Caleb were certainly a huge contrast to the rest of their people. They trusted God and they could see the future that God was preparing for them. And they found hope and courage by remaining connected to God. Now, they wanted their people to embrace the future that God was preparing. But the Israelites wanted none of it. In fact, they threatened to stone Joshua and Caleb because they were so determined to go back to Egypt. Their minds were made up. They had rejected God and abandoned their covenant with the Lord. God was grief-stricken by all this and cried out in agony, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I've done among them?" God led them out of slavery. God entered into a new covenant relationship with them. And God blessed them in big and small ways. But despite all of this, the Israelites rejected the Lord. At this point, God wanted to destroy all of them. And this might have happened had it not been for Moses' intercession. And as the situation unfolded, God forgave the people. But none of them would be allowed to enter the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, this is a prime example of God's justice being tempered by forgiveness, because the Lord wasn't willing to give up on Israel even though they had rejected him. Of course, forgiveness doesn't mean there aren't any consequences. Ultimately, there would be some consequences because their sin had to be blotted out. And for that reason, God pronounced judgment on Israel. In verses 22 and 23, the Lord said, "None of the people who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have tested me and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their ancestors." This was a tough and painful punishment. But keep in mind that the Lord was shaping and forming the Israelites. They were called to be holy. God didn't want them to remain in their sin. And so by punishing the rebellious generation, God was weeding out the unfaithful elements. God's acceptance of us as sinners involves a similar process of sanctification. The Lord doesn't want us to remain in our sin, but to grow and mature and live more holy lives. Each day, we can be cleansed of our sin, and we're given new life by staying connected to God through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Israelites were beginning to learn the value of this. They were learning that if they didn't stay connected to God, then they would not become the people God was calling them to be, and neither will we. Jesus said to his followers, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers." And then he went on to say, "I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." We find our joy and our life and our purpose through a connection with God. And that connection will help us weather any hardship that life throws our way. So be sure you make time for God, because it's through that relationship that you find the hope and the courage needed to face the challenges of each day. And that will most definitely help as you wander through the wilderness of this year. Let's pray together. Oh God, our prayer today is that when we feel overwhelmed with fear, we will remember to turn to you. You are always with us. You're with us when we cry out in fear. You're with us when we're discouraged. You're with us when we're alone. You're with us when any obstacle stands in our path. Lord, we give thanks for your abiding presence, and may we learn to always trust you with our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.